Our scripture reading this evening comes from Exodus chapter 13. Continuing our series in Exodus, Exodus 13 will be beginning in verse 11 and reading through verse 16. Beginning with verse 11. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your forefathers, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. In days to come, when your son asks you, "What does this mean?" say to him, "With a mighty hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand." You know, there are some people who, simply by virtue of the position they hold in life, are looked to by those around them for direction and for leadership. There are certain positions that seem to require the person in that position to set the pace, to chart the course, to lead, because other people are just naturally going to look to them because they're in that position. They're going to look to them for leadership. They're going to look to them for direction. They're going to try to figure out what they should be doing by looking at a person in a position near them. And if people in these key positions aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, then those around them aren't going to be doing what they're supposed to be doing either. They're key people because they're in key positions, in positions that the people around them look to for direction. So if you want a group or organization to be clear in its mission, if you want an organization or group to be united in a common purpose and direction, to be faithful in doing what they're supposed to be doing, then you need to make sure that those in these positions are faithful in doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're the key. If you can get them to lead by example, then the whole group will usually follow. If the president of the nation is leading by example, if he's doing all of the things that a citizen of the nation is expected to do, then for the most part, the nation is going to follow him. They're going to do the things that a citizen is expected to do too. If the captain of the team is playing the way he or she is supposed to play, then those around them are most likely going to play that way too. If the captain of the team is giving it their all, if they're playing as a team, if they are doing all of the little things that go into being a team member, then they make the whole team better because the whole team looks to them and takes its cue from them as to how to play. If the head of your department at work is doing all the things that an employee of your company is supposed to do, then your department, for the most part, is going to do all that it's supposed to do too. They look to the head of the department for direction, for leadership. Just naturally, they do. You don't have to tell them. They'll look all by themselves. So if you want to make sure that a group continues to do the things it's supposed to be doing, you need to make sure that these people are doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. And that truth has not been lost to the Lord. The Lord knows that we find ourselves looking to people in certain positions to give us direction, to give us some kind of idea of what we're supposed to be doing. He knows that we behave that way. And so when it comes to forming his people the way he wants them to be, he concentrates his efforts on these people first. On these people, these key people, because they are in key positions, he works on them first because he knows that the rest of his people are going to look to them to know what it means to be his people. To know what it means to be a citizen, we look to the president. To know what it means to be a teammate, we look to the captain. To know what it means to be an employee, we look to the head of the department. And to know what it means to be a child of God, we look to our parents. So immediately after delivering the people of Israel from the hand of the Egyptians, immediately after bringing his people out from underneath the bondage of slavery that they were in, God wants to make sure that his people know what it means to be his. Now that they are no longer Pharaoh's, but they are his, he wants to make sure that they know what that means to be his. And as a way of bringing that message to all of his people, not only then, but for the generations to come, he brings it to the leaders of his people, the people in the position that his people look to for direction. He brings it to the parents of his people. Now, obviously, God also had a very important role for people like the priests to play in this. They would be the ones who would be teaching the people what God's will was. They would be the ones who would interpret for the people God's word so that they would know the kinds of things that God wants them to do. But the Lord knew that as time went by, it wasn't going to be so much the priests that his people were going to look to in order to understand what it means to live as a child of Yahweh. They were going to be looking at their parents. And that's where God concentrates his efforts. So God looks to them too, as those through whom all his people can know what it means to be his. And so he says through Moses in verse 11, he says, after the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your forefathers, you're to give over to the Lord the firstborn offspring of every womb. All your firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. Now God had already commanded them back in verse 1 of chapter 13, if you have your Bibles open, actually verse 2, to consecrate every firstborn male immediately to God. And so when he tells them here in verse 11 that when they get into the land, they are to also do this, what he's saying by doing this twice is that both now and throughout the generations, both immediately since I've taken you out from under Pharaoh, and through all the time that you live in the land, this is supposed to be a practice of yours. It's going to be a regular, continual practice, both now and through the generations, that you must consecrate, you must set aside as holy, you must give over to me, to Yahweh, the firstborn male of every womb. So first of all, the Lord wants the parents of his people to establish a regular practice, a custom, if you will, a tradition, something that they will do from generation to generation. He wants them to establish a regular custom. But he doesn't want them to do this simply so that they'll always have something to do with their time, so that they'll have a regular pattern to life. That's not the reason he wants to do this. He wants them to be engaged in this kind of regular activity, this regular traditional action, because it will provide for them many teachable moments. If you have children, you know that there are moments when your child is willing to learn and ready to learn, and there are moments when they could care less about learning. For some reason, there are certain moments when they are all ears, when they are eager and ready for you to teach them something. They have a question, and they want to know the answer to it. That's called a teachable moment. And if you miss that moment, you miss a huge opportunity, because they're not often like that. God wants his people to establish this kind of regular practice, this kind of regular customary event, practice, so that it will provide them with those moments, with those teachable moments, when their children are all ears and ready to learn something. And teachable moments often come when your child sees something that they don't understand. When something catches their attention and they just don't understand why it's happening or what it means. They're very inquisitive, and so when they see something happen, when there's an action taking place that they don't understand, they're quick to ask, why? What? What is this? What's going on? And when your child enters that teachable moment, you need to know what to say. You need to take advantage of it. Because that moment will form your child for the rest of their life. It's one of those moments that your child is going to remember because you had their full attention. And every word that you said went straight in and stayed there. I'm sure you can remember times like that when you asked your mom or dad something because you were really curious. There's something happening and I don't understand it, and I've got to ask mom. I've got to ask dad. I can still remember certain times like that. I can still remember their exact words they told me because I wanted to know what was happening. And I went to them. And that's exactly what God is counting on. He's counting on our children being having their interest piqued by this kind of action, by this kind of practice. So the Lord wants the parents of His people to be people who hold to this kind of regular custom, so that at some point in the future, their children will take notice of what they're doing and ask them what it means. Because children know that action always means something. When your children are very little, words mean things to them. But it doesn't take very long before they figure out that talk is cheap. And what really gets their attention is action. They can hear mom and dad say lots of different things and it will go in one ear and out the other. But when they see mom or dad take action, then suddenly you have their attention. Action speaks to them. Because they know if it's important enough for mom and dad to take action, then it's important. They learn that very quickly. Especially when mom and dad are taking an especially remarkable or costly or sacrificial action. That gets their attention. And it's in that brief but extremely teachable moment that the Lord wants something very important to happen. He wants the faith to be passed on to the next generation. He wants the faith that is part of the lives of the adults in His people to be passed on to the children. And He's created this as a way of doing it. It's in that moment that He wants His young children to understand what it means to be His children of any age. He wants them to get it. And so He continues in verse 14. In days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the firstborn male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. First, the Lord institutes a practice, a custom, a tradition. But he does so because he knows that the children of that person are going to be watching him or her. They're going to be watching what they do. It's natural. Children naturally look to their parents for direction. You don't have to tell them. They watch you to find direction, to find what life is about. And when they're watching, they will see this. And when they see him doing these things, it will provide that perfect opportunity for the parent to pass the faith on to the next generation. Because that is exactly what these actions show to the children, isn't it? These actions show the faith of God's people. They show the children the faith of mom and dad.
As we talked about last week, the firstborn was a very symbolic person or animal. As the first one to come from the womb, it represented all that would follow from that womb. It represented the hope of the future. So when the parents of the people of God make a custom out of sacrificing the firstborn of every animal and redeeming every firstborn son by sacrificing an animal in his place, it gave tangible evidence that the one sacrificing these animals had placed all that he had in the hands of the Lord. His future was literally consecrated to the Lord. It was given over to him. It was all in the Lord's hands. And as the child sees this act of faith, this act of sacrificing the firstborn, not waiting till the secondborn is born, but sacrificing the firstborn, and saying that everything that comes from this womb is the Lord's, it gives the perfect opportunity to pass on the reason for that. Why am I sacrificing every firstborn to the Lord and redeeming my firstborn sons? Well, it's because if it weren't for the Lord, I wouldn't have any firstborn sons. I wouldn't have a future. I wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for the Lord. Because when I was in slavery and Pharaoh refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both male, both man and animal. He gave me a future when he took away the future of the one who was holding me down. That's why. That's why I sacrifice the firstborn of every womb. That's why I consecrate to the Lord the firstborn of every womb. And that is why I've consecrated to the Lord you, son. I've consecrated you to the Lord. Because if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't have a future. And neither would you. All that I have is his. Even you are his. That's what it means to be God's child. That's what it means. Everything I own, including you, belong to him. Because he saved me when I couldn't save myself. And as this process continues through the generations, it connects, you see, each successive generation with the main event. Because only one generation saw with their eyes what the Lord did. Only one. But every succeeding generation would have to know what the Lord did. And by this tangible act of sacrifice, it connects all future generations to that act. Because they say to themselves, if this is real, my parents would not sacrifice all that they have to the Lord if that isn't real. If it was just a story, they wouldn't do this. But it touches my life today because of what the Lord did. Way back then, each succeeding generation is connected to what God did by the actions of the parents in consecrating everything they have to the Lord. So they aren't just stories anymore. They're fundamental reasons for the way we live. They are the foundation of the actions that we take. As a community of faith, you know, as children of God, we seek to bring up our children in the faith, and we do many things in that effort. One of the things that we do is to have programs here at church for the youth to teach them in Sunday school and catechism and young peoples in various ways, cadets and gents. We also have Christian schools. That's one of the main ideas for them. And we teach them the stories of the faith. We give them the raw materials, the knowledge of what God has done in the past. We teach them the stories. how he's redeemed us and delivered us. Not only the mighty acts of God back in Exodus, but the mightiest of God's acts when he sent his Son to deliver us and all of his people from the slavery to sin. We teach them all those stories. But the most powerful teachable moments aren't the ones that happen in a classroom. They aren't the ones that happen with a teacher who's agreed to teach your child the facts. They're the ones that happen at home with mom and dad. The most teachable moments aren't the ones where they hear the stories of what God has done, but the moments where they see the lasting significance of what God has done. Those are the teachable moments. They're the moments when they see evidence of the fact that we too have consecrated everything that we have to him because of what he did for us. When do our children see that? What are the regular times of your life when they see that your time has been consecrated to him? What are the regular times of your life when they see that your money has been consecrated to him? What are the regular times when they see that they themselves have been consecrated to him by you? Each of these requires sacrifice, because sacrifice is what gets their attention. When they see you sacrifice for God, they will begin to ask questions. And they will begin to understand what it means to be his child. It was still dark in my room when my father came into my room to wake me up. The sun hadn't come up yet. "We had to get going," he said. "We don't have much time. Please get dressed and get in the car." I rubbed my eyes as I sat in the back of our car, and Dad drove the whole family a mile down the road to my grandfather's house. When we got there, it was still dark, but we all knew what we needed to do. We all knew what we were there for. And so we waited for my father to get the old Farmall tractor fired up in the shed and pull it out, where we all got into the wagon and rode in the wagon to the back part of my grandfather's property, where there was an asparagus patch. When we got there, each of us took our place. I drove the tractor at age 8 or 9. I couldn't push the pedals without getting off the seat first. My older sister, my mother, and my father all took their places on the asparagus picker itself. They have little seats on them. I don't know if you've seen them or not before. And as we did that morning, as we had done every other morning that week, and every other morning during that season of the year, we picked that field of asparagus as we watched the sun come up in the eastern Indiana sky. We were there because we needed the money. We didn't need it for a new car or a cottage. We didn't need it for a new boat, or any boat for that matter, or new clothes, or even for food. We were there because we needed the money for Christian school tuition. It wasn't easy. Often the morning was seasoned with an argument here or there. Tempers can be short at that hour of the morning. But that's what made it such a lasting... That's what made such a lasting impression on me. Because it wasn't at all easy. It was a great sacrifice. It was a sacrifice led by my parents. Actions speak loudly to children. And what those actions said to me was that our whole family had been consecrated to the Lord. I myself had been consecrated to the Lord. I was going to go to Christian school, and my own hands and feet were going to help make that true. Everything my parents owned was in that field, and it was all being put to his purpose. Now, you might not have to do that. God may have blessed you financially so that you don't have to sacrifice to send your kids to Christian school or other things that you believe the Lord wants you to do for them. But if that's the case, that you don't need to sacrifice for that, then you're going to have to find some other way to show them, because they need to see it. Because it's only as they see you making that sacrifice that they will understand what it means to be a child of God, to have consecrated and given over everything you have to his purpose. And if your children are already out of the house, don't worry, because they never stop watching you. There are some people who, simply by virtue of the position they hold in life, are looked to by others for direction. And among God's people, mom and dad, those people are you. Make your sacrifices great and make them obvious for your children to see. Show your children that everything you have has been consecrated to the Lord. Because when they see that, they will ask you why. And in that moment, you will be able to pass on the faith to the next generation. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know what it means to be yours. At least we know what it means on paper. We thank you, Father, for those who have gone before us, who have shown us what it means to be yours. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to show others what it means. Give us the willingness and the desire to make the sacrifices, to show you, and by showing you, show those coming after us what it means to be yours. We ask that you would bless us in that effort. We ask that you would bless our children, that you would show them who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.